Lord, to be able to come this morning, Lord. Lord, we come, Lord, because we love you, Lord, and we love you, the Word, Lord. We come, Lord, to lift you up and praise your mighty name, Lord, this morning, to give you thanks, Lord, for the life that you give us, Lord. We come, Lord, to praise and glorify you and worship you, Lord, because you are our King of Kings and our Lord of Lords. You are our Alpha and Omega, Lord. You are the I Am, Lord, the present tense, Lord. And we just want to lift you up and sing unto you this morning. I pray, Lord, that the inspiration of your Holy Spirit just come into us, fill us up, Lord, that we may be able to create an atmosphere this morning, Lord, that is pleasing to you, Lord. Lord, an atmosphere, Lord, that would just fill this room, Lord. Lord, and those that would enter into this tabernacle this morning, Lord, would be renewed by, Lord, just the inspiration they get caught under, Lord, this morning, Lord. The atmosphere, Lord, here, Lord. Lord, come and bless every seat, Lord. That those that would sit in the seat, Lord, that would be ordained for them, Lord. Lord, we just give you thanks and praise. Lord, bless each voice, Lord, each worshiper this morning, Lord. Lord, that you've created each one in your image, Lord. Liberate those gifts this morning, Lord, that we may, Lord, worship and praise you, Lord, from the heart this morning, Lord. Help us to create an atmosphere, Lord. Lord, we're so thankful, Lord, for our pastor, Lord, who's toiled, Lord, these many days, Lord, these years, Lord. And we thank you for the I Am, Lord, the fivefold ministry this morning, Lord. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the gifts which you've placed within the body, Lord. Unite us this morning, Lord, in love, Lord, that we may come, Lord, as one to worship you, Lord. Lord, Lord, pray, Lord, for the ether waves, Lord, that you may come, Lord, and inspire those, Lord, even though they may be around the world in different places, Lord, that they may come under the same inspiration that is here in this tabernacle, Lord. So bless the ether waves, bless our technicians and every office in this church, Lord. Lord, we give you thanks and praises. We commit, Lord, our service unto you this morning. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. I love you, Lord. Don't we love him this morning? Amen. I love you, Lord.
And I'm singing a song.
How I am so tired of so very high. So high above, oh God, I told you I'm so I'm so. Oh, and I will find still. And I sing a song of you. So Head to you, and I lift my head to you. I sing a song for you. I need to Jesus. Oh, gracious Lord, we're so thankful, Lord. Lord, we lift you up, Lord, and we worship you in spirit and truth, Lord. We're so thankful for all that you do and all that you provide us with, Lord. The I am present tense word. We're so thankful, Lord, for the former and the latter rain this morning. Lord, this morning, as we've taken up the offering, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you take it and bless it. Multiply it for your kingdom and for your glory this morning. Bless the hands you've given. Bless the voices that have given in worship and praise. We love you, Lord, and we commit it unto you. For we ask these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen and amen. God bless you, saints. Turn and greet one another this morning. God bless you, saints, Brother Steen, and those that are online. God bless you.
It's a great opportunity. It's a way of giving power away. Jesus Christ is King. It's a life of saving. Amen. Our symptoms are problems. When they feel that you the child Amen.
And receive his promise. Send out his word.
Bless you, saints. Just have your seats for a minute. We've got a couple of specials. And Brother Levi. Children. The children. The perfect love. Amen. Shining through. Okay. Oh, well, sister, you want to come and do your testimony? Sorry. Well, we'll do that song after this. Sister, our sister here.
Just want to let you all know that we went to see Sister Christina Torrey on Saturday. So the picture I put up of the sun rising, that was on top of the Brendu, and it was absolutely beautiful. And I must say, our sister has come a long way from the last time I actually saw her in Whangarei to where she is now. You know, praise the Lord for the continuous prayers, eh? You can see so much difference in her and all the visits that everyone has done up to thus far. Her memory is in the Lord is always sharp, has never failed her at all. Fellowship with that is really great. But she can now feel her hand touching her left hand. I mean, her right hand touching her left hand. It's not moving, but she can feel herself doing this. So she didn't want me to massage her arm at all. She just said, show me what to do. So I sat there and did mine, and she did hers. And it's such a blessing that now she's wanting to do things for herself. So at lunchtime, because I was there from 8:30 till 3 in the afternoon, and I got to fellowship with Brother Larry and Sister Cheryl with her, and it was really a real great time. So they brought her lunch, and the assistant said to me, "Oh, she needs a sister and sister, you know, to help her eat." And I looked at her, and we waited till she went out, and I said, "Oh, you can do it on your own." She goes, "Yes, I can." And she did it really well. You know, you still have to hold the tray every now and again, but she, her coordination in whangarei was different to how it is now. It has improved so much that she now knows this movement really well. So I spoke to a couple of people there, and her daughter Kim rang while I was there, so I did a couple of things for her daughter on behalf of Sister Christina. And she's actually having difficulty, Sister, like how we have difficulty ringing, she's having the same, she's finding the same thing. So Sister Christina's phone has now, it receives calls, but you can't hear it ringing. I went through everything and you can't make it ring, so they're going to buy her a new cell phone. Yeah, amen, so we'll be able to ring that. And what else was there? But apart from that, I must say, I give the Lord all the praise and the glory for the continuous prayers of everyone, eh? And she misses you. She mentioned you a lot, and I'm going to say it. She misses you, and it'd be great if you go see her sister. She loves you so much, I tell you. Anyway, so I give the Lord all the praise and the glory for Sister Cheryl and Brother Larry going to see her every Saturday as well. The rest of the saints that have been in to see her. You know, I encourage you all, if you get the chance, I know it's a long way down, petrol is not the best, but hey, at the end of the day, to see that sister the way I saw her and the way the Lord had now healed her and is going to continue to heal her. And I just want to say to you before I left, and her caregivers heard, and Sister Cheryl and Brother Larry, I gave her a challenge. You know how we get challenged by our pastor. So I said to her, 14th of February, Sister, we're coming down to see for a service down at Brother Andrew's church. I'll pick you up, wait for me in the lounge. And she looked at me, I said, "Hey, the Lord can't do anything. Look at you now. So how can you go? Don't go back, keep going forward." And then I said to her, "The other challenge I give you, sisters, we went to camp last year, Saturday, a year ago." She goes, "Yeah, I remember that." I said, "Right, 23rd of March is our next camp. I'm either going to pick you up here or at the gate with your bags." She goes, "Okay, sister." So, you know, keep that in prayer, because, you know, she has always been a determined woman, eh, sister? And she's never given up, not on the Lord anyway. She's talking to her hand, you know, and saying, "You have to move now. We've got to move. You know, we're going on camp." So praise the Lord. If I don't come on campus, because I'm going to go down and see her if it's not. But I believe the Lord will have his way, whichever way it is going to be. So thank you for
that. Amen. God bless you, sister. Doesn't that fatten the bones? That testimonies like that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let our young ones, are they ready to come up and sing? Perfect love, amen.
Sharon Wano. I know around this we were all, pastor sort of put a challenge out to us, you know, come on you guys out there, all you songwriters, let's try and get a song together. So Sister Sharon, who's not usually a songwriter, but she took the challenge up, and
amen.
And a lot of the words that she's used is actually from how Brother Malcolm preached on perfect love. So she was just able to put, probably we had a series of this, maybe went on for about a week or two, even longer. And so for a songwriter to take a hold of a couple of weeks of a subject on perfect love, this is what she got out of it. So we thank the Lord for our songwriters, and I believe she's still got more inside of her.
Amen. Amen.
The dove.
safety. The dove is our grace. The word is our healing. With perfect love shining through. The ark is our safety. The rope is our grace. While the merchants are filling their pockets, we know they are playing their part. Like Noah, Abraham, and Elijah, by your grace we continue to stand. We don't fear, we don't fear these things around us. Prophecies being made known, that they is what this world is telling us, that dove will guide us home. The ark is our safety.
Thank you, Saints. So on Saturday morning, I woke up singing this song, and it's not a new song, it's an old song. I really love worshiping the Lord. I don't have a greater measure of the gift, but I can make a joyful noise. My husband, who has a greater measure of the gift, and when I asked him for some tips, he said, just open your mouth and sing. So he's quite hard when it comes to me. So I hope that you will be blessed by this song.
Here I am waiting.
Let us stand, saints. Let us be stand. I think, Brother Valeria, you got a song for us. Take your seat, saints.
This is our last day. Tomorrow we're leaving home, but in my memory, it will be a very great time with you together here. And we want to leave one song more. It is a song also God gave in English for my wife. It was in the time for training for our. Life was not so easy, but we won't just say, I move on. I will move on with my God, for all trainings come to be mold our character. Amen. I made this song with video also for more this.
Thank you.
Praise the Lord. And we are so thankful for the gifts, Lord, that the Lord just continues to bring. And we're so blessed by our brother and sister. Amen. Let us stand and let us worship. Lily of the Valley, amen.
Lily of the valley, let your sweet aroma fill my life. Rose of Sharon, show me how to grow in beauty in God's sight.
Amen.
There is often thousands make me a reflection of your life. Ah, so day stars shine down on me. Let your light shine through me in the night. Shine down on me. Let your light shine through me in the night. Lord, I see a world that's dying, wounded by the master of the sea, groping in the darkness. Haunted by the years of past defeat, but then I see you standing near me, shining with compassion in your eyes. In your eyes, Jesus, shine down on me. Let your light shine through me in the night.
Lead me, Lord,
and lead me, Lord, I'll follow. Everywhere you open up the door, and let me know your wisdom. Show
wrong and make it right.
Gracious Father, Lord, when we see the patterns in your word, we see, Lord, the things that we have got to come through until the day star dawn, until the love of God is shed abroad from our hearts. And I believe when the songwriter broke into the inspiration of the song, they must have been going through something, oh God. It must have been gone through a pattern, and then inspired by the word, they took the pen and began to write, because now they wanted to document the footprints in the sands of time. They wanted to document the things that they were going through in their very own lives. And when a person experiences these things, sings these things, they become, Lord, a pattern. They become a part of the history of the individual. But not just the individual, but it becomes the history of the church. And I believe, Lord, that's what every true pastor wants the church to raise up to, is until that day star arise in our hearts and the love of God can be shed abroad from our hearts. Then, Lord, all judgmentalness is gone. All prejudice is gone. All racism is gone. It means, Lord, those tentacles of mystery Babylon have been broken down. They've been severed. And now, Lord, whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Glory. And then, Lord, we can serve you and worship you in spirit and in truth. We can edify the body in love. But then, Lord, we also got to be aware that the enemy is roaming around trying to devour whom he will. He can put pressure on us. He can try to cause us to conform to this world. And this is why I believe, Lord, we must be on the cutting edge of the word. Hallelujah. Because the word is always unfolding the challenges we must face. The word is always raising up faith within us to meet the challenges. The word is raised up with us so we can see this is that was spoken by the prophets. And then these things are being realized in our own lives. Then we can see, Lord, we are becoming conscious of the word. And we're walking in step with the great conductor as he begins to unfold these things in our lives and in our everyday tests and trials. When we come through all of these things victorious, Lord, maybe we were stimulated in the emotion. Maybe we said something that we wished we could suck it back down our gob. But yet, Father, it is quick for us to be able to humble ourselves to the word. Sometimes, Lord, we have strong opinions about certain things. And we want to stick to our guns. We don't want to compromise with the word. And then you come, oh God, and cause us to realize it's not our will, but his will that we want for ourselves. And we find out, Lord, that we're going to die to self-will. We have to die to the will of man so that we can fulfill the will of God. And that's always been our heart's desire, Lord. Know for a surety, Lord, that our gathering together is unto thee. Our worship, our praise is because of our appreciation and our love for you, Lord. We're just thanking you for our salvation. Because you've done so much for us, Lord, we want to be able to do something for you. I believe true Christianity is living for others. And when we can come into a place where we can say it's no longer I that live it, but Christ that liveth in me, then, Lord, our desire is to live for others. It's to help others in any way that we can. Hallelujah. Now, Lord, just if you could just give us a little bit more detail of these things that we've been looking at. And then, Lord, maybe even answer the questions that we have in our hearts and even answer the questions we didn't even know we had. Then, Lord, we can fellowship around your word for a little season. But the ultimate goal for us in 2025 is that we might bring forth fruit. Because leaves without fruit is nothing. And we can fellowship and we can have all the knowledge, knowing it that in this day, knowledge shall increase. But we want to have the life of that knowledge living out through us. We want to be consistent until we can say, not just Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever, but we are the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we love you, Lord. Commit our services into your hands. Receive the fruit of our lips. May it bring you joy, Lord, so that you can come down in our midst and open to us the bread of life, that our joy might be full. We thank you, Lord. We ask all of these things in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. God bless you, brethren. Praise the Lord. Thank you, musicians. You can have your seats. Stay. You fellas, stay standing. I'm going to read the word soon. Just want to say, we've certainly enjoyed having Brother Valera and Sister Anne with us. And you see the song that they sung? Eh? I mean, that is put together by Brother Valera. They've been working together on their drone. And, you know, I don't know, which side does Brother Valera use? The left-hand side, right? And then Sister uses the right-hand side, so to drive their drone. And then they take photos, they take pictures around, and they catch some awesome scenery. That looks like Norway, huh? There was Norway? The scenery was Norway, huh? Man, and they can make Norway look real flash, eh? Let's see if they can make New Zealand look real flash too. Amen. So a lot of real skill in these things. I want to welcome our sister Zoe with us this morning. Praise the Lord. She's right at the back there. I'm just going to, so she gets nice and shy. It's Brother Kaipara's daughter. I think quite a few of you know her, eh? Or is this the first time? First time, eh, for a lot of you? There's some here, some of you older ones, because I think it must have been, man, years ago, when they came up to the camp that we had in Taupo Bay, was it? No, in a Cooper's Beach. And that would have been, I can't even remember, it was that long ago. And they were just little fellas like that. Well, she's a big fella like that now. And we're just happy to have her. We're happy to have her around home and with baby there as well. Just awesome to have them with us. So praise the Lord, she's part of the whānau. Amen. So, I mean, I hope that you'll make her feel really welcome in our midst. Amen. Praise the Lord. While you're standing, let's go straight in our Bibles. Just wanted to say God bless you, Anne-Marie. I know you've been, I've seen you on there a couple of times. And just want to say God bless you, and trusting that the meetings have been a blessing to you. Brother Larry, God bless you, brother. Brother Steen and Whānau, God bless you. Turn in your Bibles, brethren. We'll go to the book of Mark. Is that where I want to start? Yeah, Mark. Chapter 2. And I'll start from verse 13. And my topic is still, because the first service that I preached last Sunday was set free from the tentacles of mystery Babylon, right? Then Wednesday night was very much along the same lines, and what I wanted to do was cover what we had looked at on Sunday and then break into some more detail about these things, because we're wanting to find out, well, the true Bible definition of colonialism is what? Mystery Babylon. So the definition of colonialism is mystery Babylon, or that's the tool which is used to spread this colonialism. And if you're speaking about colonialism, it becomes ingrained within a person's psychic until the way that they function is from that. They actually believe that they are a superior race. Colonialist believes they're superior and everybody else is inferior. And they want to bring such mental strain upon people that they actually think that they are inferior. But some of the purposes of these things is to show you ain't inferior. You are called of God. Amen. He took away, he died for our sin and our shame. So we no longer need to be ashamed. You see that? And whom the Son has set free is free indeed. But when it's ingrained colonialism, sometimes I showed you by Tuesday that colonialism can be in the message. It can be amongst believers. It can be judgmentalness. Eh? People come with prejudices, even in the message. And then they can judge people. They could come with a legalism. And I want to show you these things in the message too. And if you've got colonialism, you've got racism. And this is a tough thing that for years and years and years, it was an accepted practice. Racism was an accepted practice in the churches. And then as people were becoming filled with the Holy Ghost, and that's the key. As people were becoming filled with the love of God, this is what caused all that racism to leave. But then there was a fight. There was a battle against these things in the church. And then I was showing you that how that a lot of the guns were trained on new converts. New converts come under pressure. They were being judged because they didn't come to church with long hair and dresses, eh? With a tie on. I remember the first time I came to church, I had jandals, I had track pants and a t-shirt because that was the best I had. And I hitchhiked to church all the way from Motutau and hitchhiked up to Kaikohe because I wanted to see God. Hey, when there's that desire in your heart, you come as you are. And of course, people would look at me and frown at me. Because if you remember, I still had dreadlocks back in them days. You get judged. People say harsh things to you. If you ain't called, you crumble. Amen. I remember one fella coming up to me saying, "Hey, cut your hair." They didn't realize that something could, we could be set off just like that. And it's God's grace, they didn't get a punch in the nose. Because we had one of those hair triggers when you're unconverted. Amen. Praise God for the Holy Ghost. But I'm showing these pictures because, and this is the thing, if we are to be set free from the tentacles of Mystery Babylon, then all of those ingrained stuff has got to go. You can then understand why people are the way that they are. And still not be judgmental, because we know how to handle it, because we see these types and patterns in the scripture. And that's why I think what we've been looking at has been just really quite interesting. And what it takes to be able to be finally set free to serve Him. Now let's watch some of these things in Mark chapter 2, because these things were evident when Jesus was preaching the word in flesh. Mark chapter 2, the early stages of the mission work to find the names in the book. Amen. Mark chapter 2, the Lord just coming into His ministry, being challenged on every side as He was preaching the word. Had to break down those prejudices and the judgmentalness of people. I'm starting with verse 13. And He went forth again by the seaside, and all the multitude resorted unto Him, and He taught them. Now look at this, saints. He didn't have to advertise the meetings. What was the advertisement, do you think? Eh? Yeah, but what was the advertisement campaign? Were they healing the people? Healing the people? Was it a fulfillment of prophecy? Was prophecy drawing the people to the meetings? That's what it takes, saints. Prophecy was causing the people's hearts to be stirred. It was the time and the season for the word, and the word appeared, and He was now ready to preach the gospel and to set at liberty them that were bruised. Bruised by what? False religion. Bruised by what, saints? Hurts, guilt, shame. Where were they wounded? Many times in the house of their friends. And all the multitude resorted unto Him, and He taught them. Isn't that a great thing? This wasn't evangelism. Eh? He taught them. He wasn't running up and down and trying to pump the people up in emotion. The Bible says He taught them. And the teaching of the word brings us back into line to where we should be. I love that part. And He taught them. And you know what? Jesus is not looking for leaves. He's looking for fruit. And as He passed by, because it didn't talk about any converts while He was in the convention. The convention was all the multitudes are gathering and He's teaching them. But you don't hear about any report about the converts. You don't hear any report about the healings. But you hear this, He leaves the convention. And as He passed by, He saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the receipt of custom. The man's a tax collector. Who wants to fellowship after a convention with a tax collector? Tax collector is the fellow that takes your money. And you know that that money is actually, that he's gathering is a colonial fund that they're taking from the people to support their system that they hate. That's to support a system that they hate. They don't want Romanism. And here these Romans are taxing him, and one of their own is collecting for the Romans. Woo! He's one of their own people collecting for the Romans. taking money off the people in a time of economic crisis. And Jesus, knowing his name is in the book, knowing he has to break him away from his colonial thinking. But how can he break him away unless he first teaches them the word so we can understand the word and come out of it? How can he bring him out unless he reveals to him he's a part of this mystery Babylon system? And as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the receipt of custom and said unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. It doesn't say he rang up one of the bros to take his place on the custom receipt. It just says he stood up and followed him. He arose and followed him. It's something that happens, saints, when you are drawn by the word. When you're called by the word. Hallelujah. He's not thinking about, oops, that's my two denarii for the day, for the hour gone. He's not thinking along the economics. He's not thinking about the kind of man that was calling him. Something within him was drawn, and he arose and followed him. Can we do the same? And it came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in his house, many publicans and sinners sat also together with Jesus and his disciples. Because was the message being opened to the hedges and the highways? And they all gathered together for fellowship. So they sat together with Jesus and his disciples. I wonder if the disciples were a little bit uncomfortable with their gathering. For there were many, and they followed him. Many who? Those ones, publicans and sinners, and many followed him because they heard the word. They saw the power of God working. They saw the acts of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Look at these things, simple things. But God had to break down the prejudices of the people to be able to receive the word. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. You can have your seats. What a scenario. People are being won to the Lord. People are being converted. People are being drawn by prophecy to the meetings. And who's coming? Publicans and sinners. Businessmen in the economy. Zacchaeuses. Eh? Crooked businessmen. Sinners, unbelievers are being drawn to the word. And there's many. And many are following him. This to me is opening up the scenario of actually things that are happening now. But look at the reaction to those under the light of a former age. Look at their reaction. Instead of rejoicing and seeing that even some of these publicans and sinners, now this is not a racial thing because they're all of the same race. This is a prejudice. This is a caste system. This is, we are superior to them. When the scribes and Pharisees saw him eat with publicans and sinners. Now remember, I'm saying this. These ones aren't in the message. They haven't been converted. They're still under the law. Huh? But I'll show you types where they are in the message and they still got the same attitude. So what's happening? These are ones that are in the vine, but they're bringing their own branch into the vine. Are you hearing me? Bringing their own branch into the vine. They're bringing their own life into the vine. And anybody knows when you're grafting trees, you can have a citrus tree and you can graft in mandarin, lemon, orange, and it'll bring forth of its kind. It might be a lemon tree that it's being grafted into. It won't bring forth lemons. It'll bring forth mandarin. It'll bring forth orange, even though it's in the vine. But if the tree ever brings forth another branch, it will bring forth lemon. Now, keep that principle, because we'll open up the picture of these things when we get to that, when we sum up the meeting. Because to me, this is a big part of what we're looking at. So you see trees that are not even in the vine yet, Pharisees. And you think, well, yeah, that's easy to see what kind of spirit that is. But I want him to come down here and show you the pattern. So when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eat with publicans and sinners, they said unto his disciples, how is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? Who are they saying it to? His disciples. Why are they saying these things to the disciples? Trying to influence them? Trying to work on ingrained religion to bring them back. They don't want them to be free. So they're tugging on them. They're trying to kill Jesus' influence. Kill the influence of the word. What? He's down there eating and drinking with publicans and sinners. And what's the word's reaction? And notice they're saying it to the disciples to try and influence the disciples, to try and raise up a judgmentalness, because in the law they weren't to do that. To eat with them or to drink with them. Trying to show his faults in the word. But they were out of season. Come on, Jesus said, I didn't come to do away with the law. He said, I came to fulfill it. They were out of season. The Pharisees, I'm saying. When Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, they that are whole have no need of the physician. Now look at how diplomatic he was in the preaching. They that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. In other words, he was showing them that they were righteous. Now what kind of righteousness? You see, because the colonialist mentality is self-righteous. And they were very self-righteous. I mean, surely they should be rejoicing that people were actually coming to the Lord. That people were being converted. But what they were seeing was they were losing their popularity. They were going to lose control, and all of these people that they have subjugated. Think about it. These ones that were subjugated. This is why Mystery Babylon doesn't like Christianity. Because Christianity sets a person free. And that's why they try to block it. Because they want to brainwash the people. They want to indoctrinate. They want to control the media. They want to pump in all of this information into a person's psychic. and hold them in their position. But now, praise God, he's setting them free from these things. That the people can't see that they're locked in that realm. And look at the way, that's what I'm saying, he was very diplomatic in the way that he said it. They that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. And I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And the sinners were responding to the call. But those that were righteous were trying to kill the revival as the revival was starting. Now come with me to Acts chapter 14. And in Acts chapter 13, you will see how that there was a minister's meeting. And the minister's meeting started with praise and worship and prayer so that they could get into the Spirit. And while they were in the Spirit, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work that I have called them unto." Now that's in Acts 13. I'm just previewing it to show you what was following this. So the Holy Ghost identified these ministries, and these ministries, Paul and Barnabas, chosen of God and sent, were out doing the work. Now watch in verse 1. "And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of Jews and also of the Greeks, believed." Now, brethren, once again, this is not evangelism. They spake, they taught. You know what they had to be teaching? They had to be teaching modern events. They had to be opening up the current events in the Word. They would have had to know what the Holy Ghost was doing in the church. So they would have been speaking about John the Baptist and his ministry. They would have been speaking about the forerunner before they could introduce Christ, because John the Baptist was in the Word. Amen. So now they're identifying where they are in the prophecy. And then John the Baptist, we show by Scripture that he was one crying in the wilderness, "Prepare ye the way for the Lord." And they show John and the kind of ministry that he had, because they all would have heard about these things, about the ministry of John and what had happened to John and all of these different things. But now they got to introduce Christ. Now they got to show the one that fulfilled all the sacrifices, the one that they were waiting for, the one that they were, that God was going to use. So they show Christ through the prophecies of John. You see how teaching comes up in different stages to bring them to the present tense. Now, they're not just talking about history. They're talking about present tense. And then they bring to Christ and the birth of Christ, the ministry of Christ, and the death of Christ. And then, not just the death, but the resurrection. Right? All current events. And this is what caused many of the Jews and the Greeks to believe. Because the ministry helps them to line up the Scripture. The ministry knows how to bring them up to date. Praise the Lord. And then a person makes a decision and they feel in their heart, man, they give their heart to the Lord, because everything that they'd been looking at and praying about, the Word tied it all together for them. And these are ones that didn't even, they probably had an opinion about Christ, but they hadn't heard the real preaching of the Word. They were used to religion, saints. Come on. They were used to going to the synagogue, somebody getting up and reading and somebody chanting and somebody having regalia on to make them look righteous. And somebody sprinkling some incense. That was all religion was. But now somebody stood up and made the word live. That's one of the key saints. We got to make the word live. I'm not just talking about a God of history. I'm talking about a God that is stirring the hearts of the people and preparing them for the word for the season. So this is why a great multitude, both of Jews and also of Greeks, believed. Now what's the enemy? But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil, affected against the brethren. Isn't that what we saw in Mark chapter 2? What did they do? And made their minds. That's the battle in the mind. That's the psychological warfare. And even though these ones were stirred up by the word and they say, praise God, that's me. If you don't understand the principle, they can kill the revival. If a minister doesn't understand the patterns in the word, the revival will start like a shooting star. Everybody's attention is on that star. And then it fizzes out. Right? That's what evangelism can do. People can start out and then they think that they got the Holy Ghost. And everything will be right. And then here comes the enemy with the battle in the mind to try and pull you away from the true experience God gave you. And a lot of this is because of old religion. The light of a former age. Because ministers aren't prepared to move on. They're not following the conductor. So the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. And what happens when their minds are changed? The true believer becomes a target. Because there's a battle going on in the minds of the people. Is this for real or not? Man, I mean, I got confidence in our priest. He's been our priest. He dedicated us, man. And now he's speaking evil against Paul and Barnabas. I don't know what to believe. So there's a battle going on in the mind, right? Now look at this. Long time, therefore, abode they speaking boldly in the Lord. I'm talking Paul and Barnabas. Which gave testimony unto the word of his grace and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. So they were not just preaching the word and word only, but they were preaching the word in power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost. But the multitude of the city was divided. And this is the thing, there was purposeful division. They purposely did that so that they would not lose their popularity. So what do they do? In Jesus' time, they made their minds evil affected by killing his influence. And now they're doing the same to Paul and Barnabas. So part held with the Jews and part with the apostles. So they're split opinions. They split convictions, and everybody is pretty passionate about their opinion. Hey, there's a lot of passion about here whakaputanga these days. Hey, there's a lot of passion about what Seymour believes and what National believe and what we believe, because everybody's staunch with their opinion. It stirs up a fire. And a lot of times it comes to a place where even though people don't really know their topic, they're ready to fight for their opinion and ready to fight for their topic. The greatest battle ever fought in the mind comes down into the physical realms. And they want to stand on their conviction, even though they don't realize the conviction's wrong. So split opinions, split convictions, until they get physical. Man, I remember back in the day, I was chairing a ministers' meeting in Europe, one of the biggest conventions that were being held in both Germany and in Netherlands. And I had to chair this ministers' meeting for 2 or 3 years in a row. Previously, those ministers' meetings in the message could end up in punch-ups. Passionate Italians. Eh? And passionate Dutchmen. Whoo! Passionate Russians. Holding to their opinion about whether there was still blood on the mercy seat or not. And then, you know, with their convictions, they weren't shy to lay hands on one another. So I had to lay down some ground rules. Chairman's supposed to be neutral. I tell him, I ain't neutral. I got a revelation from God and I will state what I believe. But we want to be gentlemen. I laid out some rules. I said, I ain't going to tolerate anybody interrupting anybody. You're going to get your say, but only once, because we don't want you with your spirit trying to dominate the meeting. And they were such, they flowed. Those meetings, they just flowed so well. But anyway, I know that that's in the message. Split opinions. And then verse 5, and when there was an assault made both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with their rulers to use them despitefully and to stone them. So look at how hard it became. So Paul and Barnabas and the disciples and their new converts, notice that, were copying it from the Jews, from the Gentiles, from the authorities. Assaulted. The people were convinced that what Paul was preaching was blasphemy. And he was stoned and left for dead. Now, who's going to put up with that? A normal person would be thanking God that they weren't killed and got on the first plane and out of their country. Well, ship in those days. Is that right? But not Paul. He's called. Not Paul. He wants to break down these tentacles of mystery Babylon in the psyche of the people. He wants to set them free. But the man has got to be free himself before he can free others. That's one thing we have to understand, saints. So they assault him. And when you're getting hit from all sides, you're getting hit from Gentiles, you're getting hit from Jews, the police against you, the armed forces are against you. My goodness. But they're called of God. But the multitude in the city was still divided. Oh, sorry. Verse 6. They were aware of it and fled into Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lyconia, and unto the region that lieth round about. You know, one day Paul was proving his ministry. While he's proving his ministry, He told them how much trouble he had in preaching the gospel. How many times he was stoned. I think it was about five. How many times he was imprisoned. How many times he was afflicted. How many times he was hungry in the field. You think somebody's going to preach and cop that with just some PhD and LLD? It's got to be a calling. You've got to have a love for the people even though you're getting stoned. That's the ministry of Christ. You see, saints, what I'm trying to say is this is not a branch grafted into the vine. This is the vine bringing forth its own branch. This is not Paul, but this is Paul converted by the Holy Ghost. This is Paul that was struck by the pillar of fire. And the pillar of fire cried out to him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Amen. And then that pillar of fire identified itself as Jesus. That pillar of fire smiting him blind. That pillar of fire opening his eyes, baptizing him in the name of the Lord. You see, when you're converted by the Holy Ghost in fire, all of that prejudice, all of that racism. So to a place where Paul can say, I am all things to all men so that I might win men to Christ. I'm a Roman to the Romans. I'm a Jew to the Jew. I'm a Gentile to the Gentile. I can go down in the midst of the unbeliever and love them. The same as Christ did, because that's the fruit of being in the vine. Jesus say, I am the vine, you are the branches. And the branches bring forth what? Fruit. What do we want? We don't want leaves where we're just having a cup of tea and fellowship. Leaves is fellowship. And fellowship is good for a season. But leaves have to give way to flowers. And flowers are showing that the fruit is on the way. And the flowers bring a fragrance. Glory. Flowers attract the bees. Glory. And you will not attract bees if you put out artificial plants. Eh? You see, there's no... I better touch it first. You see, there's no bees attracted to pollinate these flowers, right? So even a Christian can jump up and down and shout, but there's no Holy Ghost to pollinate the word. It can't be a plastic Christian. It's got to be real. It's got to be real, saints. Because nobody can warm themselves by a painted fire. It's got to be the Holy Ghost himself. What is the attraction on the mountain? Glory. It's something that God makes real. So they run to the next city. And they fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia. And unto the region that lieth round about. They didn't head home. They just kept on preaching the word. And there they preached the gospel. Verse 7. Verse 8. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed. Look at that discernment of the ministry. He knew there's faith in this man. He wouldn't have said this if there was not faith in the man. But he perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, stand upon thy feet. And he leaped and walked. So an evident miracle in the mission fields. Right? Now, how are people going to use this miracle? Because some people are using new converts to promote their own ministries. You got to be aware of that. Is that a badge? Is that like, look what I have done? As soon as you lift yourself up, he's gone. But those are tentacles of mystery Babylon. We're not here to lift ourselves. We're here to lift him. Amen. Amen. Do we receive the honor and the glory for converts? Absolutely not. God called them. God used you, but God called them. So what do? It's fruit that is brought forth, right? We enjoy the fruit while the fruit is on the tree, and then we prune off the branch so it bring forth more fruit, because that's the whole thing, is bringing forth more fruit. And then we don't refer back to, well, 10 years ago. I'm not interested in what happened 10 years ago. Let me see what happened with you yesterday. Tell me the life that flowed through you yesterday. So watch how they use these new converts. And when the people saw that what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Lyconia, the gods are come down to us in the likeness of men. Now that can puff fellas up. Many times when I was in countries like India or Pakistan, the deacons actually had to be guards. Because when you pray for somebody, like for instance, when the blind eyes of a woman came open, the people want to touch you. We went down into the slum area in, New Delhi. And in the slum area, we had quite a big tent meeting, but it wasn't a tent. It was a tent meeting, but not a tent. Because in that meeting, it poured down with rain. Poured down. And all I could do was shut my Bible, put it under my coat to keep my Bible dry, and carried on preaching. And I was preaching in this tent and soaked right through. And the thing was, there was such a move of the Holy Ghost that the people didn't move. All they did was stand up, and then the massive puddles and water on the ground, because this was dirt ground, tent, and I just kept on preaching. That rain came down, and then the amount of converts that we had in that meeting was tremendous. But what was happening was, when we prayed for the people and the people were healed, they tried to come and touch you, thinking you're good. And then they can flock you. Come in like a flood all around you. And if you are not careful, you can let people's adoration come on you as if you something. You're nothing. He's everything. And so I got to direct their attention back to Christ. Well, sometimes ministers haven't got the character to do that. So what I'm saying, what's this now? There's a great supernatural happening. I was telling Brother Valera about those 30 Sikhs that were converted when we prayed for the 2-year-old baby and the Lord healed the baby. And I prayed for the grandmother who's blind and the Lord opened her eyes. And these 30 Sikhs, because if one Sikh gives their hearts to the Lord, they can be killed. But definitely beaten up and banished from the family. What happens when the Lord brings 30? And the whole lot see the miracles of a miracle working God. And then the whole whānau comes to the Lord. And of what I understand, they're still going strong to this day. But I got to get their attention away from me and put their attention back on the Word. But what's this? And they called Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. Now look at this. They're calling these men of God after their gods. Now, what's the attitude of Paul and Barnabas? Look at the different ways that the revival can be killed. If you promote yourself, revival killed. Eh? Because these are still tentacles of Mystery Babylon. They're thinking that our gods, Ranginui, sent these ministers. And now this miracle has happened because of our gods. And then they begin to name them after their god. They've still got the tentacles of Mystery Babylon, even though they've seen a great miracle. Then the priest of Jupiter. They want to get in on this as well, right? They want to get some miles out of this healing. Which was before their city brought oxen and garlands unto the gates and would have done sacrifice with the people. Unto who? Barnabas and Saul. Barnabas and Paul by that time. Is that right? So even the Jupiter, because what are they doing? They're not promoting Christ. They're promoting their own religion. This is what happens, saints, in a lot of these campaigns. They're not really promoting Christ. They're promoting their religion. And then they've got to, how can I put it, fake converts, not real converts. They got to show examples of people filled with the Holy Ghost and rolling around on the ground. Come on. That ain't filled with the Holy Ghost. Somebody slain in the Spirit. I remember one time somebody tried to slay me in the Spirit. I was a young Christian. Come on and laid hands and then trying to bump me over. I'm thinking, yeah, go on. Hey, trying to bump you over to so that you're slayed in the Spirit. And then when I wouldn't fall over, I'm resisting the Holy Ghost. And then they're trying to get me to speak in tongues. And I'm saying, at this stage in my life, I'd rather the giver of the gift. I'd rather have Christ, and then he'll give me the gifts that I'm supposed to have. So even then, I had enough understanding of the scripture not to take that stuff. But look at the pressure people are under. So really, they say they've got converts, but to what? And has the tentacles of Mystery Babylon been broken down in their lives? So the priests are wanting to do sacrifice. And what I'm trying to show you by these types is how deeply ingrained legalism, prejudice, racism is in the word. Or people's understanding of it. And when they were doing this, of course, Paul and Barnabas, they run down in the midst of them and stop them from doing it. And even then they wanted to continue on. And then, of course, because they did it, some raised up their heckles against them because they wouldn't allow them to promote their own religion with this miracle of God. They're trying to identify themselves with that miracle. Then come into the next chapter. And then Paul has got to settle them down, teach the word to get that tentacles of Mystery Babylon out of them. You know, a person can be in Christ, can be in the message, and still have deeply ingrained legalism. And still have their own life in the vine, and still bring forth fruit of their own life. Our life has got to die. Absolutely, saints. This is why sometimes there's a struggle between the terrestrial man and the celestial man. Because the celestial wants to come into prominence, but the terrestrial won't die. You just got to ask the Lord, Lord, burn that Tommy rod out of me. Burn that rubbish out of me, Lord. And claim the promise and keep claiming it until it's fulfilled. Now come into Acts chapter 15. We start from verse 1. And I want to show you how deeply ingrained the light of a former age, legalism is, prejudice is in the message. Because sometimes you can look at things, you know, even in sometimes in conventions, it's all because you get speakers from a place that people look up to. I know all the ministers that used to come here in the early days was from America and Canada, because they were seen as where the origins of the message were, and they were deeper in the understanding of the message. Well, that hasn't changed too. Hasn't changed. But sometimes they need missionaries back in America. I know Brother Burley's been trying to get me to go back over there for a long time. I may do it too. It's like for me, when my mates need help, I'll go and help my mates. And if there's shameless persistence, like Brother Pavel from Belarus, shamelessly persistent. He asked me, I said, okay, I'll pray about it. I didn't even pray about it. I had already made up my mind. I ain't going. And he contacts me a week later. Brother, have you prayed? I couldn't lie to him. Okay, brother, I'm going to pray. Rings up another 3 days later. Brother, have you prayed? Yep, I prayed. How are you feeling? Yeah, I'm feeling an inclination to come, but I'll wait until the Holy Ghost confirms it. Praise the Lord, he says. Done deal. I'll start arranging the meetings. My goodness. That shameless persistence. But it worked. Acts 15, verse 1. And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren. You notice it's always taught. It's teaching that positionally places the people in the promises. I don't want to build you all up in emotion. Hey? I like emotion. I don't like a dead church. I like some of those pump handle handshakes and some of those amens that you know, you can feel it from your feet up to the top of your head. Those amens that resound, those amens that are spontaneous. Praise the Lord. But I'd rather teach you the word. I would rather put the stabilizers on the ship. So they taught the brethren. And then look at this, because they're in the message. They're in the message. And said, except you be circumcised under the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. Now, is that true teaching? Or is that the law in the message? So what kind of teaching are we talking about? Because a lot of people call themselves teachers, but what are they teaching? Are they teaching present tense word? Are they teaching the great I am? Are they wanting to set the people free? Because there's two types of teaching. One of them is to bring people out, and another one is to allow them to enter into. Because those are two parts of redemption, coming out of the world and coming into Christ. And the prophet said some people have an emptying out ministry and some have a filling up ministry. So the emptying out ministry is only preaching about justification and sanctification, but can't bring the people into the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Convict them of sin, all of these different things. But now that these people are being free, look at the targets as the new converts. The target is the new convert. They can't accept that the Holy Ghost is working on them, right? because their judgmental eye is trying to make them like them. Can you see the tentacles? And that has a tendency to legalism in the message. So these are ministry in Christ, but not dead to their old teaching. They're not open to a progressive revelation. The ministry is in Christ, but it's a branch in the vine, and it's not the vine bringing forth a new branch. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they're contending for the faith. They're coming in and telling them, hey, we're in a new season, brothers. And what did the Bible say? Had no small dissension and disputation. I think they got pretty passionate about what they were teaching, but one was holding on to the law. And the other one, who had experienced grace, had met the pillar of fire, was now sharing about their experiences to bring people in. So does that happen in the message? No small dissension and disputation? They determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. You know why? Because even though the Holy Ghost had separated them for the work, they were still young fellows in the ministry. They didn't have enough manna yet, even though they had signs and wonders following their ministry. So they determined that they should go up and seek counsel from Peter, James, John, the brothers, and some of the elders, some that were given the keys to the kingdom, because they wanted an answer to the question. Is that what happens sometimes, brethren? But I want to say this, even with apostolic teaching and apostolic power, they hold to their old ways. Even contending with the ministry, and this is how tough it gets. Contending with the ministry. Old school. Or what's classed as old school. I don't think it's old school. I think it's the ministry going blind. Hey? It's the ministry not opening up a further part of the word to take the people into that next experience in Christ. I've seen it right throughout the world. Sometimes the old ones will hold up the movement of the church. Not all the time. Sometimes that's what takes place. Hey? Old ministry that's not prepared to change are so set in their ways. When the Holy Ghost is moving, they'll deny the word. I don't know whether you remember, Brother Valera, one of the first times I'd come to Lithuania, I was preaching there in Vilnius. And I was with Brother Andrew Donaldson. And we were ministering, and we called a prayer line. And there's an old woman that came up, and she was deaf. Prayed for the woman and asked through the interpreter, can she hear? And of course, she just looked with that Russian expression. I didn't even have to know that she still couldn't hear. Okay. What do I do? Throw in the towel or believe? Laid hands on her, prayed for her, and the Lord opened her ears, because I was just going to ask the question, and then joy just flooded over the sister's heart, and the Lord had opened her ears. And then there was a young girl in the meeting that she had gone, something wrong with her eyes, may have been cataracts or something had affected her eyes. And anyway, We prayed for the sister. She walked back. And I've always had an affinity with those ones, as I've said to you many times before, because my sister had that tumor and eyes were crossed, and I had a compassion. I've seen the Lord heal many like that. Remember when I was over in Myanmar, that young girl, I think she was about 9 years old, and she came to the front. She had crossed eyes. I looked at her, and I had such compassion for her because I was remembering my sister. And she died from that tumor, and I felt so helpless and hopeless that I couldn't do anything about it. But now I could do something about it because I'm a minister for Christ. I prayed for that 9-year-old girl. She came up so humbly, huh? I didn't have to ask her. I didn't need a translator to know what she had come to be prayed for. I looked at her. I looked at her eyes. I started praying for her. Prayed for her, opened my eyes, and I watched her cross eyes go straight like this. She looked at me, smiled. She just smiled. Went down and sat down in her seat. I thought, praise God. And most of the people didn't even realize what had gone on. But look what God can do. After the service, this young sister came up and began to sing, reading from her songbook as she was singing. Those things really stir me, huh? And then there was such faith amongst the people, actually they brought a young boy with epilepsy. And we were praying, I had gone and sat down. Now, I believe the spirit of the prophets is subject to the prophet. And what the brother should have done was got me to come up and pray for the boy, because there was enough faith amongst them, amongst the meeting, for that young boy to be healed. Well, the pastor prayed for that young boy. And while he was praying, he had an epileptic fit while he was praying. Now, if he was led by the Holy Ghost, he should have got me to come up at that time. He didn't, and I'm subject to the local pastor. He didn't, and the boy, he just called the deacons, and the deacons just carried him out. Now, that is what I call throwing a bucket of water on a revival. Because back in those times, if you remember, Brother Valeri, people were scared of Pentecostalism. People were scared of the gifts because they didn't understand the gifts. Because they had come out of Pentecostalism. And, you know, like even me praying, when the volume is up, was frowned on. So what I'm saying is sometimes that's what holds back the church. They want to keep the people. That's good. That's a good part. They want to keep them in justification and sanctification. They want to keep the church where there's no wrinkles. There's no outward manifestation of something wrong in the church. Legalism can kill people and chase them away. And so the word had to move on. And this is what, why I'm saying this is sometimes that old life, it's in Christ, because these are ministers in the message, but they haven't come into newness of life themselves. Now watch this type. They're even contending with apostolic ministry. They've come to a conclusion that they should go up to Jerusalem and get confirmation of the word from the elders. Okay, good. Verse 3. And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto all the brethren. This is while they're journeying there. They're still ministering the word. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them. Watch this. But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed. What? So they're in the message, but they're not being converted. There rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees, which believed. In other words, they've still got their denominational concepts. Can I say they've still got the tentacles of mystery Babylon in them? They haven't been set free from them. Now watch how they're teaching. Saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. Now watch this, because they are bringing out doctrines that will affect the young converts. Now why I'm saying this is because this is appropriate for end time evangelism. We might have messagized people, fill them with the Holy Ghost, and the word will take care of the rest. So there's people in the message that want to hold the new converts to the law when the light has turned to grace. They still have tentacles of mystery Babylon holding them. Then in the light of the word, that becomes false religion. That becomes an antichrist spirit. And an antichrist spirit is against the teaching of the word. Right? Verse 6, and the apostles and elders came together for to consider of this matter. What's this? A minister's meeting. Is that a minister's meeting in the New Testament? Who's coming together? The apostles and the elders came together for to consider this matter. So there's a topic ready for discussion. And when they had been much disputing in the minister's meeting, you say, is it right to be disputes in a minister's meeting? Sure there is. Because there's some that have come into a new part of the word, and some that still haven't come. There are some that are in the unfolding of the word, and there's some that haven't come into the season. But there are some that oppose the opening of the word, that oppose a person's liberty in Christ. And when there was much disputing, Peter rose up. Why Peter? Why Peter, brethren? Has he got some money? He's got the keys to the kingdom. He's considered an elder in the church. And said unto them, men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. Because there's still prejudice against Gentiles. Right? Gentiles are still dogs in some of the believers' minds. Publicans and sinners shouldn't even be in the church, is the mentality in some of the people's minds. There's still a prejudice. There's still racism in the message. Can I say that? I'm showing you by the types and the patterns in the scripture. Now, Peter, with his experience, I want you to notice there's disputing amongst the ministers, but Peter raises up and he begins to speak from experience. Because they can all use the same quotes of Moses. They can all use the book of Numbers and Deuteronomy, the two laws. They can all show the sacrifices and what they need to do by the quotes. But now Peter's speaking from experience, speaking from what God, how God had used him and how that God had called him to preach to the Gentiles. Amen. That's what we need, is brothers not with theology, but neology. Brothers with experience that have a feeling for the heart of the people. Those that have a heart for the work, not just talking about the work. Man, you know when my volume goes up, it's because I'm excited about my topic. It's not because I'm growling you fellas or anything like that. Eh? You know that, eh? I love the word, and I find myself getting caught up in these things because I'm quite passionate about exposing antichrist spirits in the message. And sometimes if my eye is cast on you while I'm talking about a certain part of the topic, it don't mean I'm preaching at you. Don't feel like that if I'm looking at you. You know that, eh? Man, I love the church. I love the word. This is why I preach the way I do. I don't pull no punches. And if anybody can take a hold of the word and receive something from the word, praise God. All the waiting on him was worth it. You can't just find these things by opening up a Weet-Bix packet. You got to be called. You got to know how to wait on God. You got to separate yourself from all your own thinking and let the mind that is in you come and open it up like this. That's why, brethren, we get a hold of certain topics, we get a hold of certain scripture, and it lives for the I am, for the present tense. And we never seen it like that before. That's God's grace to us. Now look at this. I'm still in verse 7. Much disputing, Peter raises up and gives a testimony. Because there are people in the message that use the law for their conduct, order, and doctrine. Hey? But those that work in the field and are eyewitnesses of his majesty and they're eyewitnesses of Holy Ghost conversions, they can testify of the book of Acts of the Holy Ghost. They can testify of a branch that has come from the vine. And the life of Christ flows through the ministry. And this is so they can prove the will of God in disputes. Because the Holy Ghost witnesses himself that the word is truth. Verse 8, and God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. So he's breaking down their prejudice and breaking down their racism. They also can receive the Holy Ghost and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. I love that. And put no difference between us and them. The Holy Ghost chose these Gentiles. The Holy Ghost placed no difference between us and them. Purifying their hearts by faith, not by the law. Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? So what they're trying to do is trying to tell these apostles that are preaching in power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost what they should preach. And after they've got the converts, how they have to lead them back into the message of law. Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples? Don't tell them what to preach. Hey, you can't even live what you preach. Don't tell these fellows what to preach. But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. Now notice this, look at the reaction. Because there's dispute in the minister's meeting. Then all the multitude kept silence, sitting on the fence. Hey, is that another word for sat on the fence? Well, good, at least they're keeping silence. At least they're listening. And gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, the ones who they are trying to cause them to preach a certain way. Look at how they're trying to control the preaching of the word. That's not the Holy Ghost. My goodness. And then Barnabas and Paul declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. And you know what, saints? They're still not convinced. I know this. I know this for a fact. Being all over the world in the mission fields, seeing, raising up churches, converting so many. Thousands. Converts all over the world. And yet, people that have only had one trip don't want to draw from the experiences the Holy Ghost has given us. Because even after these apostles testify, all they do is keep silence. And the next apostle stands and testifies using the prophecies of the word to confirm the word. Look at how they're breaking down the tentacles of Mystery Babylon. I'm just showing you the pattern. Because first was Peter. Who's next? Verse 13. James. And after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, "Men and brethren, hearken unto me." Well, they got a mana. They're elders in the church. Simeon had declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles. Who's Simeon? Who's Simeon? Hey? No. Simeon is Peter. Right? Simon. Simeon is just another expression of Simon. Right? I just want you to know how James is tying his testimony to his brothers. They're actually tautokoring one another's korero. Translate that one, Sister Julie. They're supporting one another because they are identifying the acts of the Holy Ghost in the church. Simon had declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And to this, the words of the prophets, as it is written. Now, what's he doing? He's taking them back into the word. Peter is testifying what he has done. Paul and Barnabas testifying the signs and wonders that were following their ministry. And now James is taking them back into the word. Look at the harmony of the ministry. And what was this to do? To break down the tentacles of Mystery Babylon in the church. So now he's taking them back to the prophecies. Back to the word of God. And he says in verse 15, "And to this agree the words of the prophets as it is written." You can't dispute the word. And any true ministry and any true believer, once they hear the word, they will humble themselves to the word. Praise the Lord, it'd be good if these disputes were gone now, huh? "After this I will return and I will build again the tabernacle of David which has fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things." So he's taking it back to the word. Showing them the prophecies and showing that those prophecies are being fulfilled right now. Because look at the restrictions they're wanting to put on the new converts. Can you see it? And these restrictions are coming because of legalism, right? And because they lack an understanding of the freshness in Christ. We are still a peculiar people. But the Holy Ghost will cause us to walk according to his word. Did Jesus preach to Zacchaeus about sanctification? No, the presence of the word. Look at it. Caused a conviction in Zacchaeus' heart. And Zacchaeus said, if I have ripped off, I'm using my own language, anybody, I'm going to restore to him fourfold. And Jesus didn't even tell him to do it. He just knew that was in the word and he did it anyway. This is what happens, saints, when we can identify something is in the word. There's a desire in our heart to walk in the word. And we do it anyway. Glory! Because we love him. We love the word. We want to walk in the word. So what I'm saying is, brethren, look at how great the contention is concerning the new converts. Then I asked myself the question, why is there such contention? And while I was asking that, the Lord brought me an understanding here in the message Christ, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the prophet was saying this. He says, we're living in a day when we got the best doctors we ever had, the best hospitals we ever had, the best medicine we ever practiced with, and got more sickness than the world ever known. Can we say this the same today? Because we got more sin and unbelief than the world ever knowed. We got too many things that's got people's minds all tore up. Is this right? And the poor people don't know what to do because of the lack of a teaching of the word. Because of the lack of true examples and role models. And that's the reason that sin and violence set in. My goodness. It's too bad that the Church of the Living God ever begin to break up in organizations and run out on limbs. It's too bad that we couldn't be of one faith, one accord. The Holy Spirit will still be coming if we kept like they had in the day of Pentecost in one place, in one accord. But when we begin to break fellowship with the other peoples, then is when we begin to colonialize. And God left us. God left us when? When we colonialize. When we come into that Babylonian mentality, he said, God left us. So that means to me, we have to break that colonized spirit. We have to break those prejudices and those racisms in the message so that the Holy Ghost can come. So the Holy Ghost can work himself. In a message, what hearest thou, Elijah? He said, they look for big thing. The one who can put up the biggest tent. The one who can build the biggest church. And we Pentecostal people have gotten to such a place. And if we go to a service and everybody's not running up and down the aisles and speaking with tongues and jumping over the seats, we didn't have any meeting. Look at that. Is that sometimes the attitude and the opinion? You know, they got the fellas running around with this tent meetings and tent campaigns at the moment. I had clean forgotten they were out in Multito. I was going to go out there, but it's Tuesday and Wednesday night, 6:30 start over at the Morua, over at Laurie Zinnum's church. I want to go on Tuesday night. I just want to check out to see what's going on. But I'm mindful of what the prophet's saying here. The Pentecostal people have gotten to such a place, and if we go to a sermon and everybody's not running up and down the aisle and speaking with tongues and jumping over the seats, we don't have any meeting. My goodness, that doesn't make a meeting to me. And I can see all of these different Pentecostal things taking place, but what is my attitude towards people that are actually hungry for Christ? Now, I'm not talking about going back to Pentecostalism. I'm not talking about going back to denominationalism. The word is what delivers the people. Because they think that they've had a Holy Ghost experience and they haven't had one at all. They were just built up in emotion. The preacher got them pumped up in emotion. And that's what the prophet's saying here now. Now watch this. It would pay us to sit still till we hear something from heaven, a still small voice. So you can run, you can jump, you can shout, you can talk, you can do all you want to do. But if you haven't heard the still small voice from heaven, he says, you wait until you hear him speaking. He said, we need apostolic teaching. Amen. Apostolic power. That's what Paul had. That's what Jesus had. Because the life was coming through the branch. And he said that apostolic power is not altogether noise. It's the Holy Spirit and the love of God that makes us one in Christ Jesus. What? What's the ingredients to make us one? The Holy Spirit and the love of God that makes us one in Christ Jesus. And watch what he says here. People like to colonize, make cults, form denominations. That's what I showed you in the book of Acts. That's what I showed you what happened when the Holy Ghost came down, healed that man, and now they're calling them Jupiter and Mercury. And trying to pull them in and trying to say, this is what our gods have done. Hey? But I like this. People like to colonize, make cults from denominations. They get in there and hide their own sins. I belong to so-and-so. I belong to this church. It's the biggest church. I don't care how big it is. There's one thing that hides sin, and that's the blood of Jesus Christ. Glory! Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And then the prophet is praying. And watch this. Because while he's praying, he identifies pressure he was under, and he made a mistake. This is a good thing. Ministers that can actually identify where they went wrong and use it as an experience to help others. Not try and cover it up, but confront it. Because pressure comes to cause us to conform. And he carries on and he's praying like this. We confess our sins. We're honest. We confess it before God and before men. Lord, when I think of what I said to my wife there, tell them I'm not home. I'm outside right now. I'm not here just at this time. Remember that? He said it was a little white lie. Just tell them I'm not home, because he was under pressure from the lawyers. He was under pressure because of economics. The black horse was trying to bridle his ministry. And he had to pay the IRD so much, so many thousands of dollars. And it was locking him up. And he was under such pressure. But I'm trying to show you what pressure can do. And the prophet made a mistake. He made his wife lie to the lawyer, tell him I'm not in. He had been bombarded with questions. He was under all this pressure. Can we get under pressure? Can we make mistakes? Sure. And then he went to pray for that baby, and the Holy Ghost called him a hypocrite. I think that's good. When the Holy Ghost identifies, you got to straighten something out, boy. Because what happens? The Holy Ghost left. And then he had to go up to Green Mills. He had to pray in his little altar, and he was asking God to forgive him. But there were so many different things, because what I'm seeing is that he's remembering that. He said, Lord, it condemned me, but you forgave me for it, and I know better now. So that's to teach us, that's to humble us, that's to keep us humble. Oh, sweeten our lives, Lord. Pour in the oil and the balm of Gilead and the ointment, Lord, and anoint our souls with thy goodness and thy mercy that we can hear God speak again to us. Grant it, Lord, because they weren't hearing God speak. That's prayer that does that. To everyone that's here and to others around the nation, we have seen, Lord, that the thunder and the wind and the earthquakes, it wasn't brought the results, Lord. They're still wanting to make more denominations and break up and colonize and separate men from one another. That's what colonization is all about. Separation, forming little cliques. God, let us stand still till we hear the voice of God that melts our souls one with the other. Grant it, Lord, hear us and forgive us and give us that spirit that we might live by day, by day, by day. Praise the Lord. I just want to take you through one more scripture and then we'll shut up shop. Now, this one is the where I was telling you I wanted to bring things to a conclusion. Now, we go to Galatians chapter 2. This is how Paul was confronting this Nicolaitanism or this mystery Babylon in the message or this colonialism or this racism and prejudice. And Paul's got to contend with it with Peter. Peter, who's got the keys to the kingdom. But Paul can't hold his peace. Watch this. Galatians 2, verse 1. Because it can even affect people that are filled with the Holy Ghost. Was Peter filled with the Holy Ghost? Absolutely. Galatians 2 verse 1, then 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. And I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles. So this is years after, and now he's testifying of these things. He went up by revelation, communicated with the elders what we were reading earlier from the book of Acts. Showing that I'd preached among the Gentiles and the things that God did through my ministry. But privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. So some of this was not just for a public show. Some of this I actually had to go and have heart-to-heart fellowship with the brethren to bring them up to speed. This is not just about preaching in the church. This is sometimes having to fellowship with the brothers to bring them into the revelation. Verse 3, but neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And they were trying to make Titus be circumcised. Under the law, right? And circumcision was what? Actually, in the Old Testament, it was a sign of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And that because of false brethren, unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. To bond and bind up our ministries. So they were looking for dirt. And they found some dirt because Titus wasn't circumcised. That's pretty private information, isn't it? Hey, is that private information? And they wanting to find out. They're sifting through their lives to see whether they can preach or not. This is how desperate they are to to break up the revival. You've got to understand the demon power that is running rampant in these things. And they're trying to hold on to their old status. To whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But of these who seem to be somewhat, in other words, they're making themselves to seem something they ain't. Whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me. God accepteth no man's person. For they who seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. In other words, they wanted me to preach a certain way. They wanted me to get a hold of the new converts and do this to them, legalize them. But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. And when James Cephas, who's Cephas? Eh? Who's Cephas? Is that Peter too? Yes, of course. Look at the names, man. He's Simeon, not Simeon, Simeonus. He's Silas. No. Cephas. And when James, Cephas, and John, the apostles, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. Only they that would that we should remember the poor, the same which I also was forwarded to do. Watch now. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. And he's talking about the church he converted himself. Started a church with Cornelius, right? Acts chapter 10. Started the church, watched the Holy Ghost fall upon the Gentiles, baptized them in the name of the Lord, and now because of the pressure of Babylonianism in the message, he withdraws himself from the church that he birthed. That's crazy to me. That's crazy. But that is the strength of the tentacles of mystery Babylon in false religion. And I'm showing the scripture to prove it. Contention in the message. But we can't get to a place where we think we're superior. Praise the Lord, we're under Brother Malcolm's teaching. You see, brethren, we've got to make sure, because there's different gifts with different measures of the gifts. And they are sent to accomplish certain things. We have to stay humble. Otherwise, Babylonianism, mystery Babylon tentacles will be found in us. We aren't superior to nobody, but we ain't inferior. Because I'm afraid I have suffered inferiority amongst ministers so much around the world because I'm Maori and I won't stand for it. Glory. But I don't need to lift myself up. The Holy Ghost will support his ministry by signs and wonders following. So what I'm trying to do is break any superiority complex that we have, because that's the fruit. But I want to get rid of inferiority too, because we are all the same in Christ Jesus. I want to get rid of any kind of racism. Sure. You know that can happen. Because there's rednecks amongst European and there's rednecks amongst Maori. Is there rednecks amongst Tongans, brother? Oh, they got red, man. They're flying that red flag all the time. Staunch traditionalists, right? But when Christ comes, changes us. And now he's having fellowship with Peter. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles, but when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself. Because what was colonialism? Separating oneself from the faith. Fearing them which were of the circumcision, and the circumcision is the law. So he was fearing them. A man of his mother, a man with his experience, and yet this mystery Babylon, these tentacles of mystery Babylon run so deep into the psychic, it caused Peter to pull away. Verse 13, and other Jews dissembled him likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. So he pulled away, Barnabas pulled away, and the rest of the brethren pulled away from this new converts, from these Gentile church, and left them their own devices. What good brothers, eh? Because they got legalistic. You know, this is what happens, saints. Brethren just come in from the world, and they still got the traits of this world. This is why it's so important, saints, that if anybody comes into the city of Repentance, the elders judge them at the gate. And if the elder accepts them, the whole church accepts, because why? Judgmentalness is gone. Prejudice is gone. And then you can relax and know that the Holy Ghost is working. Glory. So this is what we're talking about, brethren, getting rid of all of that kind of stuff. And I know that you all are pretty good at that, but I'm explaining these things in the scripture so you can understand other people's perspectives. And you can understand where others are so you can help them from where they are to where they should be. By what? Love. Because you're never going to convince them, because you look at it, so much disputing that was going on and nobody's mind was changing from disputes. And they had strong opinions, but nobody was changing because of their strong opinions. What did it take? Prayer. What did it take? The love of God. What did it take? The baptism of the Holy Ghost. If they get the Holy Ghost, all of those things will be made right. And then when you get the Holy Ghost, that enemy is still there to bring you back into bondage again. Woo! But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou being a Jew, livest after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Look at these things. And then you think that just preaching alone took the tentacles of Mr. Babylon out? I'm teaching you the pattern so you can apply the pattern. Because that's something you have to do, is to get all those tentacles out. I can't get it out by the preaching of the word. You have to get it out by following the pattern in the word. And then the next chapter, Paul is saying, oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Received ye the spirit of the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministered to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? So I'm showing you, brethren, even by the ministry of Paul, by the ministry of Peter, all of these different brethren, a person, a church, a family that is grafted into Christ will bring forth their own life. This is how I see it. I was going to conclude it. They might be in Christ, but if they have still got their own branch, they will bring forth their own life. But if we are in the vine, and the vine bring forth its own branch in you, it'll produce the fruit of the vine. This is my conclusion. This is my wrap up. Amen. If it's a peach tree, it'll bring forth peaches. Because what are we looking for today? Fruit. We're not looking for leaves. But we cannot graft our own life into the vine and expect to bring forth the fruits of the Spirit. We got to die that he might live. Our self-will has got to die. Our will of man has got to die so that we can fulfill the will of God. And even when we have died, the enemy is there to try to bring you back into bondage. I refuse to be brought back into bondage. Amen. You refuse to. I refuse to be manipulated in my mind. I refuse to yield to the multimedia. I refuse to yield in ministers' meetings when I see these principles being applied. Amen. It's the life on the inside that counts. Brother Bram says this, last quote, I'm done. You get a grapevine, you put pumpkin life into it, it'll bring forth pumpkins. Right? You think it's going to bring forth grapefruit, but it's got pumpkin life in it? It'll bring forth pumpkins. And you change it right back and take a pumpkin vine and put grape life in it, it'll bring forth grapes. Whatever life is in, I don't care what title it's got, Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, Pentecostal, whatever it is, take pumpkin life and put it into a grapevine, it'll produce pumpkins. This is a Pentecostal church. You got old pumpkin life in it, get it out and have a vaccination by the Holy Ghost and come back. Amen. I see you got trees up here. Bring about 9 kinds of different citrus fruit. Seen them over in Arizona the other day. There was an orange tree, had lemons and all kinds of citrus fruit, grapefruit. That's the way it is. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. That's right. And if the first branch, the vine does not bear fruit, it's the branch that bears the fruit. So he is the vine, we are the branches. If it's old life, it'll bring forth the old fruit. Now, if that first branch come forth and produced the Pentecostal church, they wrote a book of Acts behind it. If that branch ever brings forth another one, it'll be the same kind of a Pentecostal church, have the same signs and same wonders. Amen? But you say, what about these others? They're grafted. What about Methodists? What about Baptists? What about the called Pentecostal? Grafted vine. Don't bring the fruit. Why? Get themselves out there and colonize themselves. You see, he mentions it all the time when it comes to time of bearing fruit. This is the fruits of colonialization. They colonize themselves. We're so-and-so. We ain't got nothing to do with you. That's not the life of Christ. He dived to save his enemies. His arms out. Even prayed for them. Spit hanging on his face and prayed for them to be saved. Oh, yes. See? See, that's sacrificial life, saints. That's the life of Christ in us. The hope of glory. And that's what brings the change. The life of Christ. Not the old life. Not ourselves. Not our own self-righteousness. Because that's nothing but filthy rags. But the life of Christ will produce the fruit. But I found 4 or 5 times where the prophet is talking about colonialism that robs us of the true fruit of the Holy Ghost. Come out of her, my people. Be not partaker of her sins, that you receive not of her plagues. And what if we're producing some fruit of Christ and some fruit of our old life? Die. Didn't Jesus say that? How often do we die? I die daily. And then the blood of Jesus Christ covers us. That seed, that branch is gone, and the tree can bring forth a new branch. You see how deep the topic runs, saints. So when I'm talking about being free from the tentacles of mystery Babylon, whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Amen. Musicians, come play me that song. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. No more chains of slavery. Amen. What's the other words to that song? But whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Let's stand to our feet, bow our heads in a word of prayer. And gracious Father, I know, Lord, sometimes the teaching of the word can be laborious, but when we go through a Sunday Bible study and we take scripture and we're comparing scripture with scripture, we can understand why there was so much prejudice. We can understand why there was so much judgmentalness. We can understand why there was separation. We can understand why so many people were hurt by false religion. A lot of us have felt those hurts. But I'm praying this morning, oh God, that by your presence, by the power of the Holy Ghost, we claim your precious blood on all the effects. I look at Paul and I see how many times he was stoned, how many times he was imprisoned, how many times he received stripes for your name's sake. Years and years of ministry until finally locked up in jail. And has to write letters to the churches. Has to get the church to pray for me. That the Lord will open doors of utterance. That I might make known the mysteries of Christ. And then you have to send him converts. Oh God. When we're in the message. But the message ain't in us. Change us, oh God. Bring us into that liberty where Christ has set us free. Bring us into a place, oh God, where Paul is preaching to the Galatians church and calls them foolish Galatians. Talks about them being bewitched. Talks to them about going back into colonialism again. We want to be free. We want to remain free, Lord. We want to, even if it takes sacrificial love, to be able to reach out to the lost at any cost. We want to bring forth fruit, Lord, and that fruit is the names that are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. to bring in that last elected seed just before the rapture. Grant these things, Lord. Because you said if we're ever going to do anything for you, we better start doing it now. I commit all of these things into your hands, Lord, as unto a faithful creator. Let us see if there's tentacles, any tentacles are in us. Set us free from these things, O God. Hallelujah. Free to worship you. Thank you, Jesus. A liberty where Christ has set us free. Free to bring forth fruit from our inheritance. I pray, Lord, if anybody feels some of those tentacles around them, let the sharp two-edged sword of the word cut them free this morning. So that, Lord, we can edify the body in love. We can be about our Father's business. We can see this word not be preached in word only, but in power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost. Grant these things, Father, I pray. Asking these things in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Thank you, Jesus. Glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. No more chains of slavery. True had trials, there's liberty, sweet liberty. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed.
Sing it again, saints.
The Son is set free, is free indeed. No more chains of slavery. Through my trials, there's liberty, sweet liberty. Whom the Son has set free, is free indeed. On the auction block of sin, Satan, he controlled me. He had the highest bid. Then Jesus died on Calvary so that I could be free. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. No more chains of slavery. True hard trials brings liberty.
Liberty.
Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Child of the King, I traded my filthy garments for robes of royalty. Those chains that used to bind me are laying at my feet. You see, the devil, he lost his claim when Jesus rose again. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. No more chains of slavery. Oh, through my trials, there's liberty, sweet liberty. Whom the Son has set free is that. Give me that last verse again. Now we better get it right, eh? Because we're sort of like that skipping rope and don't know when to come in on the song. So I better try to sing it right. I'm refreshing my memory. Hey, you're supposed to know how to sing it right. Right, play me that. Now I belong to Jesus. I'm a child of the King. I've traded my filthy garments for robes of royalty. Those chains that used to bind me are now laying at my feet. When you see the devil, he lost his claim when Jesus rose again. Oh, the Son has set free, is free indeed. No more chains of slavery. Oh, through my trials, this liberty, sweet liberty, whom the Son has set free, is free indeed. Whom the Son has set free, is free indeed. No more chains of slavery. Through hard trials, this liberty, whom the Son has set free, is free indeed. Amen. We better stop it there because I don't want to sing a solo. Just in case I'm getting it wrong. Praise the Lord. I want to sing that song, Tangata Whenua. Eh? I am a Gentile warrior. Amen. No colonialism going to hold us down, saints. Glory. No immigration going to hold us down. No science going to hold us down. No media concepts is going to hold us back. Gentile warriors here to serve and worship the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Tongue of the Penua, I am a Gentile warrior, foreordained before the foundation of the world. Go out and find his lost people. Tongue of the Whenua. I am a Gentile warrior, foreordained before the foundation of the world. Go out and find his lost people. Colonized by their language, when our only one language was written in the stars. Sun and the moon for the seasons, to plant and harvest for our families. Our parents shackled to their system, in a democracy designed to tear us apart. Their conflicting rights and regulations, with a minority created by immigration. Tangata Whenua, I am a Gentile warrior, foreordained before the foundation of the world. Go out and find his lost people. Tangata Whenua, I am a Gentile warrior, foreordained before the foundation of the world. Go out and find his lost people. Viruses, potions, pharmaceuticals are all made up in laboratories. Closing battles raging in the mind to create turmoil and fear. Vaccines, forced inoculations, try to tag us like we are animals. A trip in the hand, they say it's okay, but they're messing around with your DNA.
to find his lost people. Death is riding on a whale. Set the captives free. I am a warrior. I am a natural living vessel. Mixed with the iron water of the living word to go out sprinkleless people. We are warriors. God has given us the eyes of an eagle. And it's divine love for his people to set the captives free. We are warriors. We are ash-filled living vessels mixed with the iron water of the living word to go out and sprinkle his people. To go out and sprinkle his people.
Thank you, Jesus. Tangata whenua, eh? Whew. That's what will break colonialism. That's what will break us out of all of those things. Our hymnology must speak about our revelations too, saints. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just sing one more song, eh? What about that song, Prophecy Being Made Known? Hallelujah. We might as well sing some homegrown stuff.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Is that what's happening today? Look at the condition of the world. But what should our condition be? Glory. Ones that understand prophecy and the patterns of the word to move us into higher realms of thinking. Thank you, Jesus.
How long shall the land groan and mourn? Fires, earthquakes, tsunamis are here. The wickedness of them that dwell within, men's hearts are failing for fear. The perilous ride of hell is following him. When you see these things around you, prophecy is being made known. You say, look up, redemption is nigh. Let these days be short and cold. Sound the trumpet to take us home. Please sound the trumpet to take us home.
Longing for the rapture, saints.
Let me talk with the Lord. Let me plead my cause. Why does this wicked seduce and grow strong? Virus vaccines deceiving the world. Merchants, donkeys, great men in the earth. By their pharmacies, all nations deceived. When you see these things around you, prophecy is being made old. You said, look up. Redemption is nigh. Let these days be short and cold. Sound the trumpet to take us home. Sound the trumpet to take us home. Go and take the little book, my bride. Thou must just prophesying. Taking the little book in his hand, prophecy is being made known. Prophecy is being made known. When you see these things around you, prophecy is being made known. He said, look up, redemption is nigh. Let these enemies hold and Lord. Sound the trumpet to take us home. Please sound the trumpet to take us home.
Hooray. Brother Blessing, can you come and dismiss the service, please, brother? Thank you, Jesus. Wednesday night, we'll be fellowshipping around some of these things as well. Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother.
Let's bow our heads and pray. Thank you, dear Father, for your presence, Lord. And thank you for your Spirit, Lord, that was upon us and the way that you've spoken unto us. We appreciate the vessel that you've used, Lord. We pray that, Lord, may you bless him more with thy word, with thy wisdom, Lord Jesus. Father, help us, Lord, to grow spiritually, to take these words and put them into practice, Lord. Father, as we see the world is falling apart, Father, we pray that, Lord, may you bring us closer every day. Let our life align with the word, Lord. Let the world have desire when they see us. When they see us, let them see light in us. Thank you, dear God, for you have special ways of rebuking and speaking to your children. Help us, Lord, to be obedient to thy Holy Spirit. Help us, Lord, to have the desire to grow spiritually. Help us, Lord, to abstain from all the worldly things. Help us, Lord, to have that love for the word. Thank you, dear God. Be with us, Father, as we are going to our respective places. May you bless our week ahead of us. Lord, we pray even for the kids that are about to open the schools, that, Lord, may your love be upon them, Father. May your Spirit guide them. We know they're going to mix with worldly kids, come from different homes. We know there are so many spirits out there. We pray that, Lord, may your grace and mercy be upon our children. For without you, Lord, they will perish. Give us the wisdom as parents as well to raise them in a manner that pleases you, Father. We've got so many people that are also suffering in the hospitals, sick, Lord. May you stretch your hand of mercy, Father, and reach them, Father. You are the greatest physician, Lord. We just heard the testimony of Sister Christine. It pleases our heart that, Lord, you always answer the prayers of your children. There are also others, Lord, that are in prison with no fault, Father. Father, we pray that, Lord, may you remember them. There might be a reason why they are there, just to serve your purpose, Father. We pray for the orphans and widows that are also battling in life. You are the Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides what's sufficient for your children. Thank you, dear God, for we commit everything unto you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Oh, sinners and the backsliders too. If you need deliverance, He'll do it for you. He died on the cross. Oh, but now He's alive, and He will rise to tell you, for your sins He died. He's calling for the sick, and He's calling for the lame.
Heaven bound.